How would you feel? What would you say? And what would you do if you knew that you would die in a week? It's a very serious question, one that could have many answers depending on where we are in life. In a way, liturgically, that is where we are with Jesus in today's gospel. The church has this reading in our gospel today, a week before Holy Thursday, which we know ends with Jesus's arrest and then his crucifixion on Good Friday. That being said, we are therefore liturgically slightly over a week from Jesus's death, his death on the cross. And so, if we read this gospel and reflect, Jesus is announcing that he is God, essentially saying, I am, would have been considered blasphemy because that is what God said to Abraham. I am. To us, these words don't have that same feeling, but to the Jewish people of the era of Christ and before, this was shocking. This would be language that one could never use. And he is being bold. He is saying, I am different than who you think I am, who I appear to be. This should cause us to pause. In some ways in our world, entering into Lent is very difficult because we do not live in a world driven by the liturgical calendar. Even those of us who work for the church, whether at the parish or in my case, my main employment is the Archdiocese of Washington, we still have external pressures on us. We travel on the Beltway and in the city and in the suburbs in an area that is not thinking the way we do in Lent. The stores have had Christmas food, the snacks and etc. they put in there in October. And then as soon as Christmas ended, they put in Valentine's Day. And then right after Valentine's Day, which was Ash Wednesday, they put in Easter candy. So for all of Lent, Easter has been present. I've even seen Passover food in the stores, and Passover this year is later than the Holy Week and Easter. People are anticipating based on sales. They are celebrating things that have nothing to do with Lent, which isn't bad. We shouldn't, you know, not look at the cherry blossoms because they are flowering during Lent. But it's hard to live in that, delving into the passion and crucifixion and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the pressures of the world. But let us stop and reflect on this reading, this gospel, how Jesus is saying that covenant with Abraham. I know Abraham. I was there with my father when the covenant was made. I know Abraham after he died, and I know that he lives on. He lives on in God. This is shocking, as I said, but I think it's also comforting for us. Any of us who have lost someone close to us, a parent, a spouse, a sibling, a child, a friend, a co-worker, we know the pain that death causes. Even for people of faith, death hurts, death stings. Whether that death be anticipated, whether we know that that person's death eased them out of the pain that they are in, whether it was sudden or violent, it still hurts. Sometimes it's easier than others. Jesus knew that pain. He probably had friends who died that we don't know about. We know about Lazarus. When Lazarus was brought back to life, a foretaste of Jesus' resurrection. But Jesus felt that pain. Before his ministry began, Jesus lost St. Joseph, whose feast day we just celebrated a few days ago. Joseph raised him as if Jesus was his son. He was his son by adoption, certainly, though they did not have a formal adoption process because everyone assumed that Jesus was Joseph's natural-born son, as Jesus was Mary's natural-born child. He suffered the loss of the man who raised him as his son, whom he knew as the man he was close to. That pain is difficult. Jesus suffered that pain, as well as those other deaths that he suffered in his life. A week from now, we delve more deeply into the mystery of Jesus. And in fact, this Sunday, we have a foretaste of the Good Friday readings when we celebrate the Passion of Jesus. This is something we need to soak into. Unfortunately, I don't think for any of us, we can just take the next week off and delve into Holy Week without anything impinging upon us. Those of us who work full-time for the church in one form or another, we're busy preparing for Holy Week. We can't really delve into it as deeply as we might want to, as if we were on retreat, and if we were on retreat, we wouldn't be with family and friends. But try to delve into Holy Week, the mystery of who Jesus is and what his passion, death, and resurrection mean for all of us. What does it mean? What do these things mean? You may have heard me quote a phrase from Paul's letter to the Hebrews: Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It's something that I saw a nice card of it, not in a shop of all places, but in a movie scene, and I'm assuming it's a real card. This card I would love to have and have at home and in my office. I think I might have to contact Tom Hanks because it was his cabin on the ship that he was in the movie to see if Tom Hanks could get that to me. But it's a wonderful reminder of who Christ is. You've also heard me say that I miss the old mystery of faith that we used to say before the 2011 changing of the language in the Missal. It still is something that resonates in my heart. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Next week, starting on Palm Sunday and going through the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday, we will be reliving that truth, being fed again with that truth, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. We don't know what Christ's second coming will be, but we have hope that we and those we have lost and those we will lose will be there together in Christ. Let us take comfort in that, and let us realize that the sorrow that we experience now will be made good in the days of the resurrection. Amen.